Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Beautiful. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. Would you have it? Would you say amen?
Amen.
You need some more time? Let me know. All right. All right. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. Thank you again, God, for this time and this opportunity, for this moment, God, to come together as like-minded believers to worship you. Father God, we ask that you would open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds, that we would receive what thus saith the Lord. God, I ask that you would allow me to share this word the way that you would have it to be done, Father God, so that it would fall on fertile grounds and we would not just be hearers, but be doers of the word. God, we love you. We need you every single step of the way. We can't make it without you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. May be seated. If you're writing down a title for today's sermon, it's going to be Speak the Wisdom of God. Speak the Wisdom of God. Speak the Wisdom of God. Amen. Hey, Casey, I ain't give you a hug. I'm sorry. I'll get you later. All right. Speak the Wisdom of God. Speak the Wisdom of God. Mr. Grant, what's your favorite scripture? What's the scripture that you talk? Amen. That's what she talks about all the time. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. How many people have ever heard that mentioned in the Bible before? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so if life and death is in the power of the tongue, it's astonishing. It's astonishing how often we don't speak life. How often we as believers don't speak life. Look, y'all, we're living in a time where there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in this world. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And folk are real quick to put their mouth on it. Folk are real quick to respond and open up their mouths. Social media, folk are real quick to share what they're going through and all other kinds of stuff and open up their mouth and say all kinds of things. And scripture tells us life and death is in the power of the tongue. There's also scripture that talks about if we're just able to tame this, if you're able to tame this tongue, if you're able to work out this tongue, if you could get this, this is the hardest thing to be able to control. But if you're able to master it, you have the ability to master everything else, just if you can control that tongue. Who in here has ever gotten mad before? and in your anger, might have responded or might have said something that you shouldn't have said. And then afterwards, you come back and you feel bad because you said what you said. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. How many people can have a testimony that because of some things that were said, there's some friendships that's not as good as they used to be? There's some relationships and family that's not as close as it used to be because someone allowed their mouth to get out of hand. Maybe there's something going on at the job or something like that that's happening, but because I didn't open my mouth, because I opened my mouth and I didn't say what it was, we messed up. All because of life and death in the mouth. Gotta watch it. So how do we deal with it now in 2016? Well, as we read here in the scripture, Paul is talking to the church here at Corinth. And as he's speaking to the church at Corinth, it's very important to understand who is speaking, who he's speaking to, and what the situation is going on during this time. At this time, he's written a letter to the church at Corinth, and there's some specific things that's going on at the church at Corinth, and so he's addressing some issues here. And so if you look at the earlier verses, some of the things that he's addressing is he's saying, look, I need you to understand, it's not about all these enticing words and how all this, he says, because I'm really not that smart. I really don't have it all together. It's really not about me. He said, I spoke to you plainly. I didn't try to sugarcoat anything or put it. He said, I just spoke to you plainly. And as he gets down here, he's starting to talk about how he dealt with his speech and all this. Verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. A lot of times when we look at someone, we're looking at this eloquent speech and we're looking for them to make sure their prepositions are in the right place and their adjectives and adverbs and all that kind of, and it's not really about all of that. It's about the content of actually what it is that we speak. Because I don't think that in our conversation with God that we have to have this big old long drawn out, where's Amaya at? Amaya, we don't have to write a whole page, you know. We can just tell God, God help. God help. Language arts, you might have to write a whole page, but when we speak to God, we can just say, God help. We can just go ahead and speak and say, look, I love you. It didn't have to be a whole bunch of different going back and forth when we can just be honest with people and just, look, I love you. Speak life into somebody else. How often it is folk are really quick to point out the thing that you haven't done or the area that you've messed up. But what about just speaking to somebody and just encouraging them? Our young folk got a lot of pressure on them. They got a lot of stuff happening. And as a parent, you have to be careful because you can get caught up in always trying to discipline them, but never actually spending the time to encourage them. To say, hey, I know you're making some wrong choices. Hey, you got some stuff going on. Hey, this is happening and that's happening. But you know what? I want to let you know that I'm proud of you. Sean can definitely share and how I look at some things and some conversations that I've had with him. But when I look back over it, Lord, he's better than I was at his age. And I'm thankful for it. Amen. Speak life. Life. Well, what is this life? Well, it's the wisdom of God. If you look over in Ecclesiastes. Amen. That's going to be right after. Is it Proverbs, I think? Yeah. Ecclesiastes 7 and 12. 7 and 12. If you don't have it, you can just write it down and I'll read it. Ecclesiastes 7 and 12. It says, for wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Wisdom gives life to them that have it. Well, if I'm speaking the wisdom, then that means I'm actually speaking life. I'm not speaking based upon my own wisdom, but I'm speaking based upon the wisdom of God. Well, how do I get the wisdom of God? I got to spend time with Him. I can't speak God's wisdom if I don't spend time in it. I beg to differ with some of our educational system and how they calculate some things. And they talk about we're here in Gillespie. And I'm part of the parent-teacher stuff and all this here. And one of the scores that they give our kids is that they say that our kids don't score real high in reading. They don't score real high in reading comprehension. And I just beg to differ that the scores aren't really telling the truth. Because I watch my children, and we live in social media age, and they're reading all the time. They're reading all the time. They're reading all the time through social media, through all this other kind of stuff. They're reading all the time. And so if children have the ability to read all the time and comprehend through that, then they have the ability to read all the time and comprehend in another area as well. We as believers have the ability to read and comprehend, but what if we looked at our Bible as much as we looked at Instagram? What if we looked at our Bible as much as we looked at Facebook, or as much as we read stuff on Twitter, or as much as we checked out somebody else's feed? Or what if we actually spent this time getting wisdom from this scripture as much as we do? Yeah, I see some folk grinning on that real quick. What if that's what we did? Instead of opening up our mouth and allowing all kinds of mess to come out, where we're complaining about our situation, where we're not happy about our situation with this. And look, I'm guilty as well. But what if we just pick this up and use this more? What do you think our response would be to situations? I think our responses would change if we would speak the wisdom of God. Here, as we get down to verse 6, and I want to do this because I know this is in the King James Version, this might not be as easy to read as most folk might have wanted it to be. Amen. So I want to go ahead and give you a different translation, if you would allow me. This is the Message Version, very, very, very simply read version. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. It says, "We of course have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you once you get your feet on firm spiritual ground. But it is not popular wisdom, the fashionable wisdom of high-priced experts that will be out of date in a year or so. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of His purposes. You don't find it laying around on the surface. It's not the latest message, but more like the oldest. What God determined as the way to bring out of His best in us, long before we ever arrived on the scene. The experts of our day haven't a clue about what this eternal plan is. If they had, they wouldn't have killed the Master of God designed life on the cross." Verse 9. "That's why we have this scripture text. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love Him." The Message Version of that scripture. What they're saying here is the way it's all set up and how we're supposed to respond and how all of this is something that folk miss all the time. It doesn't make sense that yet while I'm still going through, I'm still able to praise Him. It doesn't make sense while I got my own situation going on, I'm yet still ready to encourage somebody else. It doesn't make sense. But if we as a people, as believers, would turn and not respond the way the world responds to situation, but have the mindset to do something different, we have the ability to change this world. We have the ability to change those that hate to those that would love. We have those that have the ability to change those that would persecute to those that would actually start to help out. If we would just change even how we respond in our own speech. Amen. So my question to you today is, what are you speaking? It's not for you to look at your neighbor. That's for you. What are you speaking? You know, as kids get a little bit older and they're not around their parents, their language changes. Their language changes. You know, when other folk are not around, their language changes. And before we start to look at some of the young folk in here and sort of raise our eyebrows, you know how folk are, when they're not in church, their language changes. When they're not, you know, in dressed in their best and all that, their language changes up. What are you speaking? Are you speaking life? Are you speaking the wisdom of God? Well, first, to be able to speak that wisdom, to be able to speak life, we have to first be able and willing to speak. Be willing to speak. Be willing to open up your mouth. Because here it goes. We just read it in Scripture. What God's wisdom is not the most popular thing. It's not going to be the thing that everybody standing around the water cooler at work wants to hear. It's not going to be the thing that everybody always wants to hear. Everybody don't want to always hear it. Said, no, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that because my flesh wants me to do something else. And so I want to go do that. I want to respond differently. I don't want to say it that way. But we have to be willing to speak. Willing to open up our mouths. Amen. Willing to speak. The candle about to burn it down. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm back. Willing to speak. A lot of times we see stuff going on, and as believers, we know what should be said, or maybe God reveals to us what should be said, but we don't open our mouths. Because we're afraid about how somebody else might see us or what else somebody else might say. Amen? Amen. Be willing to speak. Be willing to speak. Secondly, we have to speak the wisdom of God. Well, what is the wisdom of God? It's the gospel. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Well, speak the wisdom of God. Well, how can I speak the wisdom of God? Well, in speaking the wisdom of God, we repeat what he says. Well, how can I repeat what he says if I don't spend no time reading what he says? How can I get his word in my heart if I don't spend no time putting his word in my heart? It's not something that just automatically pops up and happens. It's something that I actually have to spend time with. It's something that I actually have to believe. It's something that I actually have to start to apply to my life, because now as I apply the wisdom of God to my life, now when I speak, I can speak as a testimony that I was in the situation and I responded the way God, and something changed. See, that's how that happens. Yet and still I'm not perfect, but something has changed because now I started to speak life. And it's great for me to be able to speak life into somebody else, but I got to spend some time speaking life into me. How can I speak life into someone else effectively if I'm not first speaking life into me? And so as the enemy would try to tell me this and the enemy would try to tell me that, look, I'm going to tell you a good way to deal with the enemy. As the enemy comes up and say, well, you're not this and you're not this and you don't deserve this and you don't deserve that. Go ahead and say, yeah, I don't. You're right, I am. But it's not about how it is you see me, because you ain't in control of me. So enemy, whatever, see, this is how we can null and void what the enemy does. The enemy can say, you don't deserve it. And I can say, you're right, I don't. But by the grace of God, because he loved me, because he put mercy, allowed me to have mercy, I'm in a better place. Whoa, Kevin, you're this, or you're this, or you've done this before, or you've done that before. Look, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I didn't do it. Yeah, I did it. But by the grace of God, because of his mercy, I'm so glad that God doesn't see me the way you see me, enemy. I'm glad that God sees me the way Christ presents me. And because of his body and because of his blood, he presents me as righteousness. He presents me as something that's perfect, while all the while I'm not. But because of him, I am. That's when we start to speak wisdom. That's when we start to speak the gospel. That's when we start to actually share life with somebody. Because the same God that did it for me, here we are speaking life, he can do it for you. Let me introduce you to a man named Jesus. I'm here to tell you, it will change your life. Speaking wisdom, amen. Lastly, we got to be willing to speak. We have to speak the wisdom of God. And we got to talk about something different. It is real easy to get caught up in what everybody else is talking about. It's real easy to get caught up in what everybody else is talking about. And I don't know about you, but I know that when I get caught up in what everybody else is talking about, I feel terrible. This morning, as we got up and went to the room and I was getting ready and the news was on and all this other kind of stuff, and everybody was just talking about the same thing. Everybody was talking about the same thing. Who wants to guess what they was talking about? What'd you say? You said the Klan? No, I didn't hear that one, but yeah, that has been conversation. Trump, politics, this choice is going to do this, he's going to pick this person, he's going to pick that person, this is going to happen, oh, and here's the people that say they shouldn't pick this person, here's the people that say, oh, this person would be a good pick, and there's the people that say this, well, just give him a chance, da, 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 da. And there's people that say, well, y'all didn't just give Obama a chance, why'd you give him, you know, this stuff back and forth, which ain't going to make nobody feel good. And so if I'm going to talk the wisdom of God, remember when we read that message version, it's not the popular thing. It's not the thing that everybody else is talking about. You got to be willing to talk about something different. Amen. Ever been in the midst of folk talking about something and then you could change the conversation. You used to start to talk about something different. They might look at you crazy, but you could change the conversation. That's how we speak the wisdom of God. Verse 9. Because when we speak the wisdom of God, when we are attuned to what it is what we're speaking, then there's a promise that comes along when we change up. There's a promise that comes along when we change up. Verse 9 says, but it is written, and it's talking about what's in Isaiah 64, verse number 4, in case you want to write it down and go back and look at it. Isaiah 64, verse number 4. It says, but it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Well, how is it that I love him? Because my speech has changed. What is some identifying factors? Because I'm starting to speak God's wisdom. I'm starting to speak his wisdom because I love him. I'm starting to respond differently because I love him. And just to really find out what it is he's got in store for me, I've never even dreamed about it. I've never really even processed it and thought about it that way. But God has so much more in store for me if I just be willing to change my speech, how I respond to things. I leave you with this question. What are you speaking? Amen. Amen. What are you speaking? What are you speaking? It's great to, oh, praise the Lord on Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I hope Sunday isn't the only time those phrases are in your speech. Games coming on this afternoon. Work week's going to start on Monday again. Somebody's going to get on your nerves. You're going to have an opportunity to respond differently. I hope you pass the test. Amen. 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 Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. What are you speaking? What are you speaking?